Amen. Thank you. These services are always very special. And as you're here today, as Miss Macklin has honored her dad who sacrificed it all, we're here to honor the men and women who have sacrificed it all. And we're here to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who sacrificed it all for us. I want to read a passage of Scripture, and we certainly don't want to take it out of context, but I just want you to follow along with me, and I want you to think about this as we travel along through God's Word, and we look at some situations today. The first thing that I'd love for you to do is turn to Psalm 33, and if you're able, let's stand in honor of God's Word. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. And we'll get started. The psalmist, more than likely David, wrote this Psalm 33, the sovereignty of the Lord in creation and history. History is his story. And in verse 11, he says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen is his own inheritance." Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the service today. Lord, may it bring you honor and glory. Lord, we thank you for the ones that have spoken here today, the ones that have sang today, the ones that have participated today. Lord, we do it all for you, and we just want to praise you that we have the ability to worship together in freedom. We have the ability to worship together in spirit and in truth. And Lord, it's all because of you. And Lord, as we search our hearts this morning, we see troublesome times ahead. Lord, we see that for us in the church. We see that for us in America. And Lord, we see that as born-again believers in you. And Lord, today, I pray that you encourage us through your word to take a stand. We need people with backbones. We need people with boldness. We need people with courage that won't bow to the oppressors, but Lord, will stand in victory because of you. And Lord, today, I pray for our nation. Lord, we're so far away from you. And Lord, I pray people here today that are born again, that are the salt and the light of the world, Lord, I pray that you called us to go into the world to show what your true love is. And Lord, I pray that you put a burden on our hearts to do just that. Lord, as the devil comes at us full throttle, with the principalities and powers attacking like no other, Lord, I pray you give us the armor to stand. And in you, we stand. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for what this day means, what tomorrow means. And Lord, we just want to honor and glorify you today. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's one thing that we must know. We must celebrate here this morning, and I think this has become cliche almost to the point to where when we say it we don't really mean it, but it's something that is very true. God is in control. Amen. Is my girls and I were riding around, and they were talking about the sun and the clouds and the trees and all the beauty of the world. I said, "Isn't it awesome that God made that?" And they all in agreement, "Yeah, that's awesome." I said, "What's more awesome, girls, is this, is that not only did he make that, but he made you and wants a personal relationship with you." And our God is an awesome God. And as we think about that, we think about all the things that are going on in our country. And man, I've got a list for you this morning. But I want us to think about what His Word says. When the psalmist said, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. What He's ordained is going to happen. I'm thankful today that our God does not change. I'm thankful today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm thankful that His counsel stands forever. I'm thankful today that when we look in verse 11, the plans of His heart to all generations, and in verse 12, many patriotic messages have been preached on this. But this verse doesn't apply to America. This verse applies to Israel. And it's very important that you stay with me this morning, okay? When you research the Bible and study the Bible, the United States of America is nowhere in end times prophecy. The United States of America is nowhere mentioned in end times prophecy. So we know that there's going to be some things happen in our country that is going to take place. And it's going to be done. Why? Because His counsel stands forever. So as we look at this today, we see that the psalmist is referring to the nation of Israel. And he says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And so we think about that principle today as this country was created. Starting in the 1600s, when the pilgrims made their way over here, all the way to the victories of the Revolutionary War. It's amazing to me that George Washington went through all that he went through, and our country was even formalized to be a country. But when you look at the rich uniqueness of our country, there's one thing that you can say: God's hand has always been on the United States of America. Now, I truly believe this with all my heart. I believe that He only has His hand upon us because of our stance with Israel. And when we continue to support Israel, God is going to continue to bless us. But the day is coming, and you can see it coming fast, that there is a majority of people that are getting into political office that do not support Israel. And as they do not support Israel, they are looking to pull monies, they are looking to pull protection. They are looking to pull all kinds of defense from even supporting the nation of Israel. So as that happens, we look at some things today. In 1973, Roe v. Wade legalized abortion in the United States of America. And I believe that God has turned us over to His wrath and to the sin that we have so desired. In 2010, when the Supreme Court legalized sodomy and recognized that as marriage, I believe that God has turned us over into the depravity of sin. But we sit here today wondering why we're able to gather, why we have all the blessings that we have, why we are able to do what we please, why we are able to enjoy the rich blessings of this great country. And I truly believe this, because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen as His own inheritance is the people of Israel. And it goes back to a covenant made long ago in Genesis chapter 12. Let me read that to you just real quick. In Genesis chapter 12, God formed these institutions. And the institutions that we're going to look at this morning, the institutions that we'll look at tonight, the institutions that mean dear to us, is the church. The church. One of the institutions that He created. Another institution that He created is what? The family. And the family is what? Not the definition that BLM has tagged to it. Not the definition that critical race theory has labeled to it. But the definition of family is one man married to one woman, a husband and a wife, called to procreate, to have kids. And I'm thankful today that the Lord knows our kids. I'm thankful when He told Jeremiah in chapter 1, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I'm thankful that we have a Lord that loves and cherishes kids. And so as we think about this covenant today, the next institution that He instituted was government. And in government, we're going to learn tonight that it is there to protect you and I, to protect the good, to do terror to the evil. But as we look at this today, this covenant that He made with Abram, and He's made a promise to countries that support Abram. And as we know, Abram went to be Father Abraham. And we look in verse 12. The Lord said to Abram, or chapter 12, verse 1, get out of your country, I'm your family, and from your father's house to a land that I'll show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Listen to this. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It is so important today, church, that as we recognize the United States of America, we recognize a country that has promised to support Israel. And as we have supported Israel, we are reaping the benefits of those blessings. Amen? But when you have politicians in the White House that are growing in an alarming number, that are ready to pull support, that are ready to support a rogue terrorist group called Hamas, that are ready to support a rogue nation called Palestine, that are ready to support the enlargements of their borders, when the nation of Israel today is the size of New Jersey, when it should be much larger than that, when God defined Israel's boundaries, and they have chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. But I'm here to tell you today, the nation of Israel, the size of our state of New Jersey, stands among enemies all throughout the Middle East, and it stands tall. Why? Because God said He will bless His nation. And so as we know this today, we have to understand some things about our nation. You look across this timeline, and you see how our great nation was formed and the soldiers that battled for this great nation. The awesome Purple Heart, and all the things that Mr. Creech did for our nation. The men and women that have laid the ultimate sacrifice down for our nation of giving their lives so that you and I can gather here today. I think about June the 6th of 1944. Operation Overload was put in full effect by General Dwight D. Eisenhower as he sent troops in from the English Channel to cross, to go into France, to land on the beaches of Normandy. Normandy had a battlefront of a beach of 50 miles long. And in that battlefront of 50 miles long, men, over 160,000 of them, stormed that beach that day on June 6, 1944. It infamously is always remembered as D-Day. And on that day, over 9,000 of our men gave their lives. But by the end of the summer of August, over 2 million of the Allied forces had taken control of France. And it's only because of the grace of God. In that war of World War II, there were clear good guys and there were clear bad guys. There was the United States and Great Britain and France, which comprised of the Allied forces. And then there was the enemies of the Axis forces, of the Emperor of the Shintoism of Japan, the Nazi dictator of Adolf Hitler of Germany, and Benito Mussolini of the dictator, fascist dictator of Italy, had formed together to create this Axis powers that people said could not be defeated. But praise God, because of His hand upon us in this situation, we're here today speaking English, not worshiping an idol in a shrine, not marching to a swastika, but we're here speaking English because of men and women like Mr. Creech that laid their life down so that you and I can be in this great country today. So as we gather here today, I want you to understand something about our country. Our country was created by God, for God, under God. And so many people today have perverted what this country stands for and will continue to stand for. And it's time that you and I, as Christian Americans, take a stand. When you look at the Declaration of Independence, you see that we're endowed by our Creator. Creator is capitalized in that because our forefathers knew who God was, who God is. They said we are endowed to have what? Life. We're endowed to have life. Aren't you thankful for life today? It says we are endowed to have liberty. We have freedom to do what we please to do. We're having liberty today, the freedoms that are afforded to us to get up on Sunday morning and come to the Lord's house to worship Him. Those freedoms of liberty. And He says we are endowed to have the pursuit of happiness. I'm thankful today. I believe in the American dream that you can be what you want to be. I'm a poor, uneducated boy here from New Hope. Grew up in Horde, moved to the big community of New Hope. Nobody in our family had been to college.
And praise God, He blessed me with that opportunity. He's blessed me with a wonderful career. I've got many degrees that never could have happened for a poor country boy from East Mineola. But God blessed me with that. Let me tell you something, folks. The American dream is alive and well. And if you put hard work behind it, you can be what God wants you to be. So when you look at these things today and you think about the United States of America, we are one nation under God. Don't let that be taken out of our pledge. We have in our money, in God we trust. Don't let that be taken off our money. Don't let the things of the world that is creeping in trying to tell us that we need to be politically correct, don't let that be taken away from us here today. I'm thankful today to have two grandfathers. One, my dad's dad, Paul Mize, who fought in World War II, who saw the flag, the American flag raised at Iwo Jima on the Pacific Front. I'm proud to have a grandfather in Sam White who served in the Korean War and watched prisoners of war as he was over there in Korea. I'm proud to have grandfathers that have fought for this country. And so as I think about this today, I think about what General MacArthur said on the Pacific Front in World War II to President Truman. He said, if you don't use the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we're going to lose up to 500,000 of our boys. Do you want that, President Truman? And President Truman did the right thing. He dropped those atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And we have people today that say, oh, that's barbaric. Oh, that's murder. That's this, that's that. Let me tell you something, folks. If it wasn't for men that had boldness, that had a backbone, that stood for what's right, you and I could easily be speaking Japanese this morning. So when you think about these things, we need to honor these men. My former superintendent, Dwayne Ellis, his father's name was Gene Ellis. Miss Richie knew Brother Gene. And Brother Gene Ellis would tell me every time I seen him, he was a World War II vet on the Pacific Front about to go into the islands of Japan. He said, I'm so thankful for President Truman. He says, when he did that and dropped those atomic bombs, it saved so many of our lives. And I'm telling you something, folks. We need to be thankful for our history. We need to be thankful for presidents. We need to be thankful for men like Mr. Creech that have laid down their life, done bold, mighty actions for the Lord to preserve what we have today. Because I'm telling you, we're in a mess right now. And if you don't see that, you've got your head buried in the sand or you're drinking too much blue Kool-Aid and you need to lay off. Because what we have here is a problem. Our history cannot be rewritten. Our men didn't fight for the ridiculous problems and ridiculous ideologies that are being pushed down our throats today. Our men and women, like Mr. Creech, didn't fight for people to choose what bathroom that they go to. God created man and God created woman. Case closed. The other thing is, we have thousands of babies aborted in our country every day. What a travesty that we have these murders taking place in our country every day through abortion. And when we think about abortion, so many of us turn a blind eye to that. But it tells me in our Declaration of Independence that we are endowed by our Creator to have life. What about the babies that have been aborted? Where is their life today? When you think about these things, it sickens your stomach. It makes you fired up. It makes you want to stand to do what's right. And we think about today that $3 million was given to protect a crazy gorilla's life in a Cincinnati zoo, but money can't be given to protect an unborn child's life. What a travesty today. Now we jump into what is tearing our nation apart. And what is tearing our nation apart is something called secular humanism. Our men did not fight for secular humanism. Let me read this passage of Scripture to you. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. We are not a right nation. We have so many problems that are going on in our country today that I want to share with you this morning when it comes to secular humanism. Where did it start? Secular humanism started with a gentleman by the name of Karl Marx. Karl Marx is famous for evolution. He's famous for creating the theory of evolution with Darwin and other fellows. And as he's created this, he has created a situation in Marxism which takes away personal freedom, private property, all the things that you and I stand for in the United States of America, Karl Marx says, no, it all needs to be under the guise of what? Communal. So where do we get that word communal? We get the type of government that is formed out of that? Communism. And so we have this Marxist ideas that are being pushed through this secular humanism today. Karl Marx encountered a gentleman in the late 1800s that was titled the Prince of Preachers. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon challenged Karl Marx. Karl Marx said that you and I are not sinners. As a matter of fact, if you're broke, you have a chemical imbalance that can be fixed. So don't worry about owning your sin, because there's nothing wrong with you. Evolutionary trends show that you're being created into more of a superior being than anybody else. That totally contradicts what Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached. Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached that there's none of us righteous, no, not one. That we're all falling short of the glory of God because we're born sinners. That's who we are. And the only person that can fix a sin problem this morning is not your psychiatrist, not your doctor, not your telepathic brother or whoever you may call on the 1-900 hotline. The only person that can fix sin problem is Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this today and we see this today, we see that we have secular humanism creeping in to even the church. Even the church. How does that creep into the church? Because secular humanism says this: I can do it. I. All about me. And I want to read to you today, just real quick. I should have this memorized. I did one time. The preamble of the United States Constitution. We the people. You remember that, guys? We the people. I'm going to preach a little bit right now what I was going to preach tonight. I'm so sick and tired of them telling me I got to get a vaccine. This tells me we the people. We the people of the United States in order to form a more perfect union. The forefathers knew it can never be perfect, but we could try. And they said, this is how you do it. Through this living document called the Constitution. Number one, establish justice. That's being thrown out the window by defunding the police officers. That's been thrown out the window by defunding our military. We can't give our boys and girls overseas fighting for us the proper equipment to defend our country. What a shame. These people in office, let me tell you what we need to do. We need to vote them out. That's what we need to do. Amen. Ensure domestic tranquility. Are you telling me that the riots by Black Lives Matter, that the riots that are being going on through Antifa and other social quote-unquote justice groups all throughout the United States of America are ensuring domestic tranquility? There are places in the United States of America that you and I can't even go. You want to know why? Because it's more dangerous to go into the streets of Southside Chicago than it is in the neighborhoods of Kabul, Afghanistan. That's in the United States of America, folks. He goes on in the preamble and it says, provide for the common defense. We've talked about that in our military. Promote the general welfare. What a shame it is that more people are willing to sit at home and gain a government check and get that government check rather than go to work when jobs are posted everywhere. And jobs are posted everywhere, but people want to sit home and gather a government check. Let me tell you something about economics. I learned this in my first economics class in college. There is no such thing as a free lunch. And that money that we keep on getting from the government, and that money that they keep on passing out, that money is about to come worthless. And when it becomes worthless, we are going to have a stock market crash that is going to be far worse than what was seen in the 1920s in the Great Depression. Money has to be backed, and our money is not being backed. It's being spent. What's the old proverb? Money can't grow on trees, right? Well, that's how our government treats it. So we get to the next part here. Secure the blessings of liberty. And it seems like our blessings are being taken away. To ourselves and our posterity, we do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
and our Constitution is under attack. In this secular humanism, Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached in April of 1889 from Isaiah 66. Did you know that this was going on way back then as well? It's been a battle that we'll continue to fight. For many a year, Spurgeon said, by the grand old truths of the gospel, sinners were converted and saints were edified. The world was made to know that there is a God in Israel. But these days, that's too antiquated for the present cultural race of superior beings. They are going to regenerate the world by democratic socialism. And they're going to set up the kingdom for Christ. And they're going to try to do it without being born again or the pardon of sin. Wow. What a statement that is. This author says, I too want to join Spurgeon in blowing the trumpet and warning of the dangers of social justice. To think social justice is just about ending unjust oppression, racism, sexism, gender inequality is to be unaware that it is rooted in Marxism. Marxism says there is no God. Marxism says there is no individual freedom. Marxism says there is no such thing as a family. Marxism says there is no room for the church. And Marxism says there is no form of nationalism. Nationalism. You know what, church? I had a little bit of pride this morning being able to say the Pledge of Allegiance. I had a little bit of pride this morning singing those hymns. How about you? Oh, not to these people that are so woke. Now let me give you the term for this new term that's crept into our society and, believe it or not, creeping into our churches. The term wokeness. The awareness of systemic oppression and the need for redistribution of power from the oppressor to the oppressed. So basically what that is saying is this. It is saying because you have been born white, especially if you're a white male, that you should be ashamed of yourself. That you should be ashamed of how you were created. You should be ashamed of where you're at. And you need to give back your redistribution of wealth. You need to give that redistribution of wealth back to the people that are oppressed. Okay? Well, every time I look at my check statement and see the taxes taken out for the ungodly stuff that goes in this country, we're doing just that. They're taxing us to death. And so what happens here today when we study this today is we come together today. We see that this wokeness is creeping into our society. It's creeping into our government. It's creeping into our schoolhouse. And I'm afraid, church, that it's creeping into our families in the way that we think about things today. I don't know about you, but God chose me to be born a male. Praise Him for that. God chose me to be born white. Praise Him for that. I am not going to feel sorry for myself for being born white and be born a male. I'm going to praise God for who He made me, and He made me unique. And let me tell you something today. It's not the color of your skin. It's not the way that you look. It's the way that you were knit together before you were in your mother's womb. Praise Him for that today, that He is the creator of us, not some systemic racial wokeness.
Amen.
So let's look at this today. As we look at this, we want to talk about what's being pushed down our throats. I'm going to read from a book called Fault Lines that was given to me. And it's written by Vody Bachman. Let me tell you about this guy. He is a pastor in a church in Africa. He's even been here to Lindale, Texas to put on a seminar before. But this guy is African American. And he tells the truth. And listen to what he says. The Pledge of Allegiance, and if this offends you today, I'm not here to get on Republicans, Democrats, Independents. I don't care what political party you are, but I'm telling you what, this country's under attack. And you and I need to stand up for what's right. Now we're called to stand up for what's right. Mr. Bachman says the Pledge of Allegiance at the Democratic National Convention included the word someday, but omitted the words under God. Though many deny the fact, even Snopes acknowledged that the phrase under God was omitted from at least two recitations of the Pledge of Allegiance at the individual caucus meetings during the DNC in 2020. It happened at both the Muslim delegates and allies, and it happened at the LGBT caucus meeting.
For the national anthems, listen to this. Thank you for standing today during the national anthem. At the national anthem, at the Democratic National Convention, the participants were told you may rise or kneel if you are able or for your preference. Mr. Bachman said, I'm not nearly as concerned about disrespect for the flag or the national anthem as I am about the deeper issue. The deeper issue is the emblematic of the radical, progressive, critical race theory-laden atmosphere that characterized the proceedings. At the Democratic National Convention, Jay Mai, a Duke University student whose preferred pronouns are they and them, who identifies as a black Vietnamese transgender, non-binary, gender transcendent, mermaid queen king, currently living out their ever-evolving truths in Winston-Salem. Now listen to this. This is where we're at. And this is where we're spiraling out of control. This was a featured speaker at the Democratic National Convention who, quote unquote, calls himself a mermaid queen king. Here's what becomes even more blasphemy. Jay Mai recently became a, quote unquote, licensed minister in the Progressive National Baptist Church. That's sickening. In the caucus meeting, Jay Mai made it clear that those who say to cry to defund the police is really just calling for redistribution, retraining, and refocusing police efforts. She, or he, whatever, said, we're talking about abolishing the police. We're talking about abolishing ICE. We're talking about abolishing prisons. They want the country to spiral out of control. This is what this man right here, Mr. Creech, he didn't fight for that. The Democratic Party platform at the LGBTQ caucus meeting, trans activist Marissa Richmond reiterated the Democrats' position on other things, transgender participation in school sports. This is the very ideology that has led to girls being left off the podium at track meets as trans athletes take state championships. Girls' high school field hockey and soccer being in danger of being completely transformed, and in one instance, a male-to-male female trans MMA fighter breaking his female opponent's skull. But they give the platform to this transgender LGBT doctrine of demons. That's what it is. And for you and I to sympathize with that and say, oh, Lady Gaga said they were just born that way. Hey, watch me. Watch me. My Bible tells me that you and I are born sinners. And we need a Savior. And the only one that can save is Jesus Christ. And so as we come here today to celebrate this Memorial Day, as we come here today to think about our country, to think about where we're at, this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And the only reason it's the land of the free and the home of the brave is because of Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. When He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? For He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our nation does not need to cry out social injustice. Our nation needs to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we call ourselves one nation under God, it sickens me to read this. Michael, why are you so fired up on all this stuff? You don't know why? Because I got four little girls. That's why. Got four little girls. Go to public school. May the 5th was proclaimed National Day of Prayer in our country. Every president that sat in the office of the White House and the Oval Office always referred to God in their National Day of Prayer, except the one currently sitting in there. Like his predecessors before, President Joe Biden issued a proclamation on the National Day of Prayer this week, but one word was missing, according to Fox News. Both former presidents, Barack Obama and Donald Trump, mentioned God in their National Day of Prayer proclamations, but Biden's proclamation never mentions God. Only Americans, many religions and belief systems, and listen to this, the power of prayer. Secular humanism at its finest. Okay, that's his words. Let me go back to Obama's National Day of Prayer. He said that we worship all one God. Baloney. I don't worship the God the Muslims worship. I don't worship the God that the Hindus worship. I don't worship the God that the Buddhists worship. I don't worship the God that the Shintos worship. I don't worship animism. I worship the one and true God. That is God Jehovah. And that is the one that I worship this morning.
Amen.
So, as we look at this today, that's Obama. Here it is, pluralism. Pluralism. Everybody all, oh, we all worship the same God. Oh, no, we don't. No, we don't. Hey, get this through your thick skull. We do not worship the same God. I've had people in this church tell me, oh, we worship the... No, we don't. No, we don't. I had 2001, when the World Trade Center happened. I was sitting in this church and a little old lady in this church stood up at announcement times and she said, I just want to say this to encourage the church. It was such a blessing to me to see all the ministers of faith in Yankee Stadium come up to the pitcher's mound and all pray together to God. And I seen an old man that was my Bible teacher sitting in front of me and the whole time he was just shaking his head. And he had every right to shake his head. It's sickening. You and I do not conform to the world. We're to be transformed by Jesus Christ. And we are to make a stand, and that stand is to not say that we are aligning with Allah, that we are aligning with Buddhism, we are aligning with Shinto, we're aligning with Hinduism, whatever it may be. We stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we stand for. So here you go. Here's Mr. Biden's prayer, or whatever you want to call it. Throughout our history, Americans of many religions and belief systems have turned to prayer for strength, hope, and guidance. Biden's proclamation read, "Prayer has nourished countless souls and powered moral movements, including essential fights against racial injustice." Here we go. There's that secular humanism again. You have to be woke. Some of you ain't even awake this morning. You got to be woke, right? Racial injustice, child labor, and infringement on the rights of disabled Americans. Prayer is also a daily practice for many, whether it is to ask for help, strength, or to give thanks over blessings bestowed. Meanwhile, Trump, 2017, he mentioned God five times. 2018, Trump again mentioned God five times. 2019, he mentioned God seven times. 2020, he's trying to win an election, he mentions God 11 times, right? While the proclamation itself didn't include God, this is where I just want to... Somebody got a basket over here I can throw up in? While the proclamation itself didn't include God, Biden's remarks for the occasion did say that the vaccine was developed by the grace of God. Come back for part two tonight on that, if you will. As we close today, the Vice President of the United States of America, Kamala Harris, put out a tweet on the old Twitter machine that said, "Enjoy your long weekend." That's all she said. She didn't once say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This weekend, I hope it's not just a long weekend for you. I hope it's not a day at the lake, a day of popping firecrackers, a day of enjoying in what you want to do. I hope it's a day that you remember the ultimate sacrifice that was given so that we can do what we do in this free country. In 2006, Jacqueline and I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. I said, honey, if there's one thing I want to see the wall. Now, many of you that know me pretty good know that I'm a huge Statler Brothers fan. And the Statler Brothers in the 1980s sang a song, More Than a Name, on the wall. Jimmy Fortune, who was the great singer in the Statler Brothers group, when the other one passed away, he'd come on in. And he was moved, so moved by a lady at the wall, the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C., a mother that was sitting there praying to the Lord, crying as she looked at her son's name. When we got over there to the wall, it was eerily quiet. And Jacqueline and I walked up, and you seen mothers, you seen wives, you seen people decorated in their Vietnam memorial gear, sitting there with their hands on the wall, tears running down their eyes. It was a scene that I'll never forget. And Jimmy Fortune penned this song about this mother that prayed to the Lord at the wall. Kamala Harris may think that this is just one long weekend. Mr. Biden may not even reference God this weekend. But for you and I, we need to remember this. Lord, my boy was special. He meant so much to me. Lord, I sure would love to see him. Just one more time, you see. All I have are the memories and the moments to recall. So Lord, could you tell him that he's more than just a name on the wall? Let's stand. As Brother Jim Little plays taps.